whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
A special welcome to our Rock Antenna listeners. Today I'm here with Robert Eriksson from The Helicopters. It's nice to have you here. So
Hi. You
just released a new album. It's called Overdriver, and you also will go on tour. So how are things going at the moment?
Things are going very well. Thank you. It's nice being here, Rock Antenna. And we have just, as you said, we released the record last Friday, a few days ago. And we're mighty proud. Most people enjoy it and like it. And we have just started playing. We did a few shows here in Stockholm from Friday. Friday is a full weekend of shows. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to be flying to Finland to continue the tour. And then we'll be down in Germany in April.
Yeah, we're looking forward to see you there. How have been the shows that you already did?
They were really good. Really good, I got to say. I'm really happy with how they turned out. And I don't know, it was, we rented this beautiful old theater called Vasa Teatern, the Vasa Theater, and did three shows there. And it was, the reason to that was it's coinciding a little bit with us being a band for 30 years. So we've been playing for 30 years and we wanted to to find some place here in Stockholm that we actually didn't, haven't played before. And since if we played for 30 years, we played a lot of places in Stockholm. So, but this was a venue we've never played before. And I think, it was a beautiful place and we had a really good time. And I think the audience did too. So, it was a nice weekend.
Very nice. Okay, so for your new album, Nike, if I say it right, was the producer.
Yes.
Yeah, for the first time solo. So what was different this time?
It wasn't real. It's basically, I would say, that Nicky has been like at least co-producing all the other albums we did as well, because he's always involved in the, of course, in the songwriting. Most people know that. He's the main songwriter. But he's also, from day one, from the Super Shitty to the Max album in 1996, and Pain the Deuce and so on, and it was like, he's always been, from everything of how the guitar sounds and the drum sounds or bass or, how to mic up the amps or stuff like that. And, to special sounds or how the artwork is going to look or everything. He's kind of like the, as most people would say, the mastermind of the little, all the little bits and pieces that makes a product in the end, even though we play, all of us, drums, bass, guitar, it's not like, it's completely like dictating whatever little piece it is, but, he's kind of like the guy, that pulls all the threads together, so to speak. So Chips Keasby, that we used to have for a producer on the records High Visibility, By the Grace of God, and also Rock and Roll Is Dead and Head Off, I would say he was, he's mentioned as the producer, but I would say that Nicky was like kind of like co-producing in some way, So, this time we didn't have any other, and we just went to a studio on the Swedish, on the countryside, and it was really nice, and it was just us there. So, this time it was completely, done by him, basically. Other than that, I wouldn't say, you know, we're used to being in the studio together, all of us. So it's, well, Dolph was in the studio for the first time with us this time. So I would say that is the main difference compared to any other recording.
Okay. So you called your album Overdriver. Is there any meaning behind the title of the album or?
I know that we had meaning. It's a good sounding word. We were looking for a one word album title. And last time we had, you know, we've been having some, you know, difficulties in finding what kind of title we want. And that was the same with Eyes of Oblivion, the last record. But then it ended up being one of the titles for the actual, you know, from a song title that ended up as the, you know. And this time when we checked all the songs and the song titles, we thought that none of them were good enough for being like representative as the album title. They were good as song titles, but not as like the whole thing that binds it together. So Nicky came up with Overdriver. He found this, I think I get it right if I say Color Sound. There's a brand called Color Sound back in the late 60s, early 70s. And they made wah-wah pedals and they made Overdriver pedals. And he thought it was like, that's a cool sounding, you know, Overdriver. And if you do that, you overdrive something, you turn the knobs, you know, a little bit too much, so to speak. And also in Swedish, if you take the word overdriver and you put the little umlauts above them, you know, like that means exaggerating. Överdriver. That means you're exaggerating something. And we thought that is a bit, you know, like a wordplay too. So, yeah. So that's why it's Overdriver. And then he, you know, started thinking about the monolith on the cover, on the sleeve, people worshiping a big, you know. So, yeah. And Max Loeffler, the German artist, did that, you know, he did the actual artwork. So I think it turned out good.
Yeah, I actually like it. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
And sometimes it's as simple as that, right?
Yeah. It's sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's not. And I mean, you know, we're all like collectively bringing in a million ideas, like, you know, some, you know, titles for the record, but it's not like one. There's a bunch of shitty ones, but all, you know, maybe something could lead into something else and you start thinking and, you know, so yeah, finally we got the Overdriver and it's out now.
Yeah, I also listened to it and I like it. So is there any funny or unusual story that happened during the making of the album?
During the making of the album? Well, actually, it was quite smooth. As I said, the studio was in the Swedish countryside. There were, you know, so we had each a little bedroom in, you know, close to the studio, and there was a pool and there was some chickens and hens and cows and whatever you have, you know, it was really in the countryside. There was no restaurant or anything in nearby. We had to take the car and go and get some food, and then we had, you know, we were sitting there eating dinner and lunch and breakfast all together. So and then working hard all day. And I think there was some, the guy who owned the studio had a bunch of old vintage equipment, old guitars, old amps and everything. So at some point, I think there was, because we could have them overdriven, you know, pretty loud. It was pretty loudly recorded. So the actual tubes were starting to loosen from its sockets. So they were like in both Boba's and Nicky's amp. And I think that was because, I don't know, if you play guitar for 2, 3, 4 hours straight and the tubes actually started to shake and become loose. So we had to get some repair guy to fix the amps because they were too too loudly played. So I don't know if that's unusual or not, but that's one story I just thought about.
Yeah, but it's actually nice. It sounds also nice where you recorded it, actually.
Yeah, I think so. I hope that people can actually hear that it was recorded. I don't know. It's, you know, you read on record sleeves once in a while, you know, this was recorded loud, so listen loud or whatever, you know, and this was actually, you know, I'm not just saying this, but this was recorded very loud. So,
okay. What have been the inspirations for the new album?
I guess, you know, the I can't say so much about the actual songwriting influences because that's mainly Nicke. And this time also Dolph has written a couple of the songs. But I can mention the way they were. It's not like a direct answer to your question then, but how it came together was we had a bunch of demos, and Nicke has, I think altogether it was like around 25 songs. And then we started, everybody in the band starting to pick out their own personal favorites. And we said, let's record 13 songs. And then we can have a couple as B-sides or whatever you want to call them, you know, ending up somewhere else. And we chose the five that we really thought was the five each that we thought, you know, we really got to do this, these ones. And if we had, you know, a few of them were the same, so then it's a no-brainer, you know, of course we're gonna do them because everybody in the band thinks so. And then it's a little bit of going back and forth, and we wanna make an album they should fit together, being kind of different songs. You know, there's like a couple that's slower and more moody. One is in a 6/8 beat, which is a waltz, like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, et cetera. It's not only 4-beat songs. And there were a couple faster songs, a couple more power poppy songs. And so we wanted to make some sort of wider, instead of just doing it like making a Ramones album or whatever you want to call it. But I actually think this one might be our most diverse sounding album up to date. And I really, personally, I really enjoy that.
So, nice to have a variety.
Yes, I agree.
So which songs, because you said everybody picks their favorite songs, which songs that you choose as your favorite songs ended up on the album?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, oh, shit. I have a list somewhere, but I don't have it right here. I know that, let's see here if I think correctly. I know that I had Faraway Looks as one of them. I had Coming Down as one of them, and Do You Feel Normal? Let's see here. What did I have more? Memory, I think, was one of them. There was one of them that actually didn't end up on the album, but we recorded it, so it's gonna be out. I don't know, somewhere on a B-side or something. It's great too, but it's fun to do it that way. You know, it makes a collectively, you know, everybody's sort of involved, and you're discussing whatever, you know, what's good with one song and why, you know, it should be on the album and so forth. And sometimes you record a song and it doesn't really end up in the way you expect it to be at first. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a song that you might not think is like, yeah, maybe it can be good, and you know, it's the other way around. It turns out to be really good after the you know, and that's what's makes it fun with recordings, I think. You know, things can take different turns.
Yeah, definitely
along the way.
So we also asked ourselves, maybe it's due to the fact that you, all of you choose the songs, because last year you released Stay With You. And yes, we asked ourselves, why isn't the song on the album?
Well, it was supposed to be from the beginning. That was one of the songs that we said, everybody was like, yeah, this should be on the next album. But then Dragan, our guitar player, he hurt his fingers and he in a car door, and we had to postpone the recording of the album, and we postponed it twice. So when we knew about, you know, he was, you know, his hand was damaged, we thought we need something out, you know, because now it's going to, you know, it's going to take too long before the album comes out. So we need something out before the summer of 2024. So we said, let's record a couple of the songs then, and let's do a single at least, you know, it's something to, you know, otherwise, you know, 3 years in between albums, you know. So that's what, and then we took that one, Stay With You, because everybody liked that one. So we thought, that's since everybody agrees on that one, we recorded that. And we also recorded a bunch of cover songs that we usually also do. And it's fun. We've always enjoyed recording a lot of covers. And a cover of The Cure, which is a bit unusual, but that ended up on the B side of that. It's a vinyl single, and it's also digitally now, of course, but as the vinyl, the analog B side, there's a Cure song. So yeah, that's why. And after it was out, we thought, let's have that, as you know, bands had in the 60s, where Rolling Stones, The Beatles, The Who, whatever you had, a lot of bands, they did independent singles, so to speak. You know, a lot of the hit songs from back then, they were not on an album. So they were just released as a single. So we thought, let's do it the same way.
Yeah, fair, I would say.
Okay. I don't know if it's right or wrong to think like that, but you know, as yeah, a career, as a career thing, I'm not. I don't know. We just thought it was cool.
I also don't know if it's good or not, but
no, yeah, no.
We just ask ourselves why. Yeah, is that so? I know you haven't written the songs, but maybe you have some stories behind, because
behind Stay With You. Behind Stay With You, you mean?
No, behind, for example, I Don't Want To Be Just A Memory, because
oh, yeah, that's Dolph. Is it? That's Dolph's song, actually.
Okay.
It's quite interesting, because usually when we do the album and we're all happy with all the songs, otherwise we wouldn't really release them. So then we talk to the record label, and usually the record label gets involved in choosing the singles, and that's the one that was chosen as the second single. And we thought, yeah, that's cool, you know. And it's one of the more popular songs on the album. That's what we call, you know, Dolph is into power pop, and we all are. But when he writes, I guess that's, you know, it comes easy to him. I don't really know. I shouldn't really talk about the lyrics, because I don't really know how to explain them, since I didn't write them. So, but I think it's a, I think it's a great track, and whatever, whenever, you know, somebody else, for example, if, you know, when we have those 25 songs to choose from, for example, me and Boba, we don't know who's been writing the songs. So it's not like, you know, because, and that's, I guess that's one of Nick's roles as the producer. He took in, you know, a few of Dolph's songs, and then he sends them out to all of us, you know, all the songs. So we don't know. I don't have a clue when I'm choosing you know, my five favorite songs or whatever, who's been writing them. I could guess that it might be Nicke, or maybe it's, if something is a little bit different, I might think that, oh yeah, maybe this is Boba, or maybe this is Dolph, or, you know, but it's not going to be like, you know, that shouldn't be part of the, you know, why you choose something, you know. So I think that's a little bit of fun too.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah.
And it's fair to do that. Yeah, because then...
Yeah, I mean, Nick is going to sing the song, so I guess he filters it a little bit through his kind of songwriting ability. And if it's... if Dolph writes a song, for example, or Boba for the last album, he did The Pressure's On the last album, and it kind of goes through Nicky's kind of filter somehow, and maybe he would change a little bit of the phrasing of the vocals, or maybe a chord change here and there, but not, you know, it's, or maybe like a song is maybe 75% finished, there might be a little bridge or a little, you know, something missing, and Nicky would fit in that somehow. So, and then it gets a co-written, of course. But I think it turned out really cool.
Yeah,
something. Like, I think it's a little bit too. We haven't really been in that kind of way, route, or whatever you want before. I think, you know, it's a bit more poppy than we usually are, and but then again, it's part of the whole, you know, the whole album, which is, you know, all songs don't sound like that. There's a couple of tougher songs, a couple of softer songs, fast, slow, whatever you have, you know, different vibes to them. So
yeah, I also ask myself, I know lyrics is hard for you to tell, but if it's kind of a legacy for you because you just came back and...
No, actually, we have been discussing. It's not really anything of that. I think it's more of a, I don't want to be just a memory. I don't want to be just your memory. That's the lyrics. Okay. And so it varies, a memory and your memory. I think it's more about a, you know, a relationship, nothing like in the band perspective. It's more of a, you know, relationship stagnating, you know, something more in that vein. I could say that with my, I hope I'm correct here. But it's not, I know it's not like from a band perspective, at least.
Yeah. Is there a song that you can say something about the lyrics? Because I have here Leave a Mark. That's what
Leave a Mark was also. Yeah, Leave a Mark was also. We got the question a few days ago in some other interview, and there was somebody who asked pretty much the same question as you did for just a memory. If it's about the band, you know, if it's that the helicopters want to leave a mark somehow. But I think it's more, or I actually know because I heard Nick answered it, and he said that no, it's more of a for some fucked up guy. Can you say that on the radio? No, it's a
sure
it's
you
some,
can
some guy that is. You know, they like a Unabomber, or, you know, somebody who's really, you know, psych, you know, weird mind, and they wanna do something because they don't have a life, or they don't, you know, they're a loner that is. They need to do something to before they leave this world. You know, to leave a mark somehow, but they choose to do it in a weird, you know, fucked up way. I mean, you know, like, you know, that's, so it's not about leaving a mark for the band or anything. It's more like a fiction, out of fiction, the lyrics.
Maybe I can ask you this question, because due to the song Wrong Face, what is your wrong face?
Wrong face on. What is my wrong face? Oh, man. Oh. Maybe my wrong face would be the Sunday morning face, maybe after, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. Wrong Face On. I think that's the lyrics about that one is it's just when people are backstabbing or making the, you know, little taking shortcuts to gaining some kind of better treatment, you know, from other people, and you know they're a bit false, a bit yeah, taking shortcuts, and like, you know, they might be smiling like this, but you know that the intention is not so good. You know, they want to, you know, like, I don't know, making benefits for themselves in bad ways. So I hope I don't have a wrong face.
Maybe the Sunday morning one, but that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, that was just my first impression. If I'm being out too late on a Saturday and I wake up in the morning and I might not, you know, feel like it's like, yes.
Yeah, I have the same face, I would say.
Yeah, you know, Sunday morning and it's like, oh my God, I want to have 4 hours more of sleep. But yeah.
So in April, you're playing in Germany and we're looking forward to see you there.
Yeah.
Yeah. What can we look forward?
You can look forward to a great show together with our old friends in Super Suckers, which is, I got to mention, we're really happy that we could do this together. And we did a lot of touring with them like 20 years ago. We did a lot of American tours. With Eddie and the Super Suckers, six shows all together. It's four shows in Germany, and then we go to Denmark. And yeah. So I don't know where you are based. Rock Antenne,
is Munich.
Munich, yeah. Well, then, then we're there. We have. Let's see here. Gonna have to double check so I say the right cities. We play Cologne, the first gig, I believe, and then München is the second, and then the third one is Frankfurt, I believe, Bachkap, where we've been before, and then the last one is Hamburg. And then people might want to ask, so why don't you come to Berlin? But we actually play Berlin in May. So there's a festival there called Desert Fest, and we're doing that then. So we thought the club shows, and we did a club show a couple of years ago in together with Kadaver, a couple of years ago in Berlin. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Germany has always been great, and always hopefully will be great. So looking forward to it.
So, yeah, we're happy that you will come. You are playing for a long time together. Have you developed any rituals as a band or also individually before a gig?
What do you mean, rituals?
Yeah, kind of.
I guess all of us have some kind of a little mental preparation, so to speak. You know, you kind of go into like a few hours before a show, you kind of go into like some, you know, we usually like an hour before you started to take on your whatever you're going to wear on stage and warm up a little bit with playing guitar in the dressing room or playing, you know, I don't have a drum set in backstage, but I can, you know, go around playing with my sticks on different kind of materials, chairs, whatever you have. So I guess we sort of have our own individual little preparation. It's not like, it's nothing more. It's not really like a communal thing, but it's more like we talk about whatever, you know, we try to change the song order every time, this time around, because we thought it would be fun to do that when it's the 30-year thing. So the people that come in Munich or München, they're not going to hear exactly the same songs as it is in Köln. It's not going to be like some bands, they play exactly the same. We have rehearsed a bunch of songs, of extra songs this time. So we're going to try to vary it a little bit for each night. And we did in Stockholm too now. I think we changed around 5, 6, 7 songs every night. And that's the plan for let's see if that if we stick to that plan. But I think we're going to do that in Germany too.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, so I'm done with my questions. So thank you so much for your time. And I hope you have a great tour.
Well, thank you.
Love to see you.
Hope to see you in Munich then.
Yeah.
München.
For sure.
All right.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rocking podcasts.